Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 7, day 1 of our study of Ephesians and Philippians. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Philippians 1, 1-6. Well, welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. Again, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. Would you pray with me before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. We want to know you more, God, not just more about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Philippians 1:1-6. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so excited to jump into Philippians. We are in this 10-week Bible study. We're combining Ephesians and Philippians. They're two short books that happen to add up to 10 chapters. So it fits perfectly into this study. And I love these two books. I love the way that Paul starts this book off. Most of this first chapter is just going to be him glowing over these people. He loves the people of Philippi. And Philippi is in Greece. It was a Greek city actually in Greece. I mean, most of these places that Paul writes these letters to, they were Greek and Roman places, but this Philippi is actually in Greece. Ephesians is on the western shore of what's modern-day Turkey, which was at the time considered Greece and then Rome. And this is part of the Roman world, but it's actually in the Greece proper. If you went to Greece today, it's there. It's on the northern edge of Greece as you kind of move toward the shore of Greece toward Turkey. That's where Philippi is. And there are, of course, ruins of the ancient city there even today. But Paul didn't spend just a whole lot of time with the people of Philippi, but it's obvious from this letter that he really loved them and he cherished them. Verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I love that Paul, you know, says that he thinks about these people pretty often, and whenever he thinks about them, he prays for them. And I think that's super important. That is a little hidden gem in this passage right here, is very often we think about people. Sometimes the Lord will recall in our mind different people that we know, and we may think about them for a few minutes, but then we move on. We think about them, we have good thoughts about them, but we don't actually pray for them. And I think a lot of times when someone out of the blue pops into our mind, we weren't thinking about them, there was no trigger in our mind or in our situation or environment that would make us think about them. And sometimes even when there are triggers, even when there are things that make us think about them, I think it's the Lord prompting us to remember to pray for them. And that's kind of what Paul is sneaking in here right off the bat. Is whenever I think about you, every single time, I pray for you. How powerful would it be if every single time someone popped into our mind, even if it's just 20 seconds or 10 seconds, if we just prayed for them, if we just asked the Lord to bless them, if we just asked the Lord to speak to them or move in their lives, how powerful would that be? How would you like it if the Lord was bringing you up into other people's minds out of the blue? If they just prayed for you for 5, 10, 15, 20 seconds every time that happened, think of how much more we would pray for one another if we just did that. That is such a simple, practical thing to do. I've engaged with that a little bit. I need more grace in that. So I pray that you and I, that the Lord will give us more grace to do just that. But Paul loves to think about them and loves to pray for them because they partnered in the gospel with him. And so there is this shared purpose that Paul had with the people of Philippi, with the church in Philippi. They were eager to participate in the gospel in what seems like, and he could just be saying nice things, but I don't think Paul at any point is just trying to grab at straws to say nice platitudes. I think he really means this, is that there is a sense of the shared purpose of the gospel that maybe he didn't have with every different place that he went to, every different people group or city that he encountered. And there is this shared sense of pressing forward together for the sake of the gospel. And Paul was also very confident that the Lord was going to finish the good work that he started in the people of Philippi. And that's powerful. Because if we're honest with ourselves, honest with the Lord, sometimes we look at people and their situation, their lives. Maybe we look at a church. It's like, it's not going well. I don't think it's going to turn out. You know, I mean, how many times, be honest, have you looked at a couple getting married and thought, I give it a year, two tops, you know, if you know them or whatever, I mean, please don't admit that to the couple or anyone else. I just know that you've thought it because everyone has thought those kinds of things. And in the same way, you know, there's churches and people where it's like, man, it's not going so well and they're making bad decisions. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to turn out. And imagine being someone like Paul, where you've invested your heart and your life and your time as a missionary going from place to place, and then you move on and all you get are reports. And we know from Paul's epistles, from his letters, that a lot of the reports he got were of negative things going on. Imagine the weight and the burden on him. I'm sure there are negative reports coming from Philippi, probably positive and negative. But Paul's a human just like you and I. If someone came and told you 10 positive things about Philippi and one negative thing that's going on, you're going to barely hear the 10 positive things. If someone comes and says, hey, this is what's going on in Ephesians, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 positive things, and here's a negative thing that's going on, needs to be addressed. It's like, oh no, the negative thing, that's the thing we focus on, that's the thing we dwell on and we press into. And it can really color how we see things. And so Paul is pressing into the Lord and saying, I have confidence that the Lord is going to finish the good work he started in you. Even though there's the ebbs and flows, even though there's the peaks, but then there's the big valleys. There's the enemy coming against you. There's people that they're like, you know, the heck with this. I'm not following Jesus and I'm turning you over to the authorities, city of Philippi. Those things probably happened. And they're devastating. They were difficult, not fun. But Paul had confidence in the Lord that what the Lord started in the city of Philippi in that church, he was going to bring to completion on the day of Jesus. That when all of those people in Philippi, when they stood before the Lord on that day, that they were going to be complete in Jesus. And that's a powerful thing. I want to pray that for every single person in my life, and for my family, for my wife, for my extended family, for my friends, for the people at church with me. I want to pray that over them. I want to believe that over them. I want to have that confidence that Paul has. I want the grace to have that confidence. I want you to have the grace to have that confidence over the people that you pray for when you remember them. Oh, Lord, give us grace. Give us that grace to remember to pray for people when we think about them. And would you give us that confidence? Would you give us the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and the confidence that comes with that, that you are going to do amazing things in their life and you're going to present them whole and complete before your Father on that day. In Jesus' name, amen. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.